Rod, welcome. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for your service. Welcome to the NOM. I like the way the book is laid out. It's not in chapters, per se.
No, it isn't.
Did you keep a journal the whole time you were there?
No, I started to. I was there maybe 2-3 months, and I started it. We had other things to do besides me scribbling down, you know, what we just, everything's still in my mind is like it was yesterday.
And it's been a long, long time. Why did you decide to write the book after so long?
I was going to Sinclair College in Dayton. At that time, I was taking commercial art classes, and I started it. And I thought, nah. And when the Iraq War started, that's what triggered me. And I start scribbling. I sell uniforms in the afternoon, postal uniforms. I'm retired from the post office. But anyway, as I was sitting there between sales, I would scribble down stuff. I set it down for probably 4 or 5 years. But I picked it back up one day a couple of years ago, and I thought, oh, yeah. And I just went from where I had written maybe a little verse or something, and I just picked up like I just left
just
it there yesterday.
Off, While you're over there, what or when during your time spent in Vietnam had you thinking, or did it perhaps, that you're not going to make it home?
Oh,
anytime?
Within the,
many times?
Many, many, many times. Within the first couple of weeks. In fact, the first day they flew us up to Dong Ha, which is near Kaesong, where the big, you know, that's where everything was happening. That's where I was going. I mean, we flew into an airport, and I don't think we had a Marine Corps pilot. I think we had an Air Force pilot. We went on one of them, you know, it was either C-123 or something like that. And as we're coming in, he says, I'm going to hit the runway, and I'm going to slow up. And he said, the back gate's going to come down, jump off. You know, we're going like, Larry and I look at each other. There's a couple other guys in there. What? You know, so down the back gate we went, and we didn't have anything but, you know, our papers, our orders. That's what we had, and regular fatigues we had. So we jump off there, and as we're doing this, the mortar rounds are hitting. So, you know, we just start running for the nearest bunker, and that's how the name of this book came along, because we dove in this bunker, and there was dust flying, and there was two guys in there. One guy looks down at us as we're in the dirt. He says, welcome to the NOM. And that stuck with me all these years.
Talking with Rod Jordan. Rod has written a book called Welcome to the NOM. Were there one or more portions of the book that were especially painful to write, to bring back?
Yeah. The first major firefight I was in, May, let's see, it was May the 9th, 1968. We'd been out quite a while, you know.
Basically, hey, you say you bring this date, May the 9th, 1968. There are dates that are indelible in your mind.
In my mind, yeah. The day before, we'd been in some small firefights, and we called in, I'll never forget that, the day before on the 8th. We were calling in friendly artillery, and when they opened up, they were short by about 100 yards. And we were back there, and I'll never forget that, you know, because you could hear the arty coming in on us. And killed one guy, Chambers, from Cincinnati. Hell of a nice guy. He was the only one. We had maybe one or two wounded, and a chunk of metal the size of a freaking football landed. I remember it was Larry Sugar Bear, Tim Garrison. We called him Bear. And we were laying there on the ground, you know, just hoping like hell we weren't going to get hit. And this chunk falls right dead in front of us, our heads, you know. I mean, boom, in the ground. We're going like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, that'll put the fear of God in you. But anyway, the next day was, it was late in the afternoon. I'd say four-ish, something like that. We were moving along, and we had our point guy out. He was probably 100 yards up in front of us, and we're moving through this. The rice paddies are either wet or dry there. Up north, you find more dry ones than anything. And we were moving along, and there's some high grass and some scrubby trees and stuff. And next thing I know, I was standing probably 6 yards from our Captain Hughes, who had just taken over company a few weeks before, and he goes, well, they called back on the radio, you know, we got movement, we got three of them running, and, you know, I'm a new guy, and I'm thinking, it didn't make sense to me. We're going to chase these guys right now, and we don't even know what we're going into. And I remember him saying something to the effect that Captain Hughes, I'm tired and hungry, and we're Marines, let's go, you know. And this happened in, I'd say, at the maximum 10 minutes, and all hell broke loose. And the rounds, I still remember moving up. You could literally feel the rounds. They were shooting 50 caliber, 51 caliber at us. And, I mean, the sound in the air alone, I don't know how to describe it, like a bunch of bees next to your ear. And they were tearing off little pieces of trees. And we finally got up there. By the time we got up there, I don't know what platoon it was, but they overran. They had bunkers set up in there. I think there was three of them. And as we're doing that, when we get there, there's a tank. We had one tank or two tanks with us. He goes up, and a sergeant, sticks his head up out of the turret. He got shot in the neck and killed, you know, but we took care of the bunkers. So it was almost dark by then. We had guys wounded and killed and everything, but we got some of the wounded out that night late, because if you're bringing choppers in, you know, you're on a hot LZ, they call it, you know, you got fire going on, all that, you know, you're risking choppers. But they got in and got a couple wounded guys out. But the next day, that night, I was scared, to be honest. So they take this sergeant, and I don't even remember who he was. He says, he didn't even know my name, but he goes, come up here, there's this little pathway. And he takes me up there, and he goes, like, stay here. Anything comes down this trail, blow them up, you know. So it's dark now. I'm sitting there, and I could hear the NVA talking. And I'm sitting there shaking. I said, if they come down here, I'm done. I'm toast. And all this time, I'm thinking, when are they going to come and get me, you know, relieve me? So I've been out here for almost two hours. So I said, hell with this. So I start crawling through this. They got, like, tall grass, real tall, called jungle grass or elephant grass. So I'm crawling around down there, and I knew where the company was. So I get down there, and I didn't want to come in too high and too boisterous because I didn't want to get shot. So anyway, I get in there, and they go, where you been, Jordan? I go, like, I don't know, some sergeant put me up there on an LP listening post up there by myself on this trail. So then they go, okay, well, you're going on a water run. I said, I just got a water run. You know, I'm a new guy. Yeah. We used to get canteens, and we tie a rope through them and maybe put 10 on there.
A string of, yeah.
And you could drag them. Mm-hmm. So we go down. We're going through all this stuff. We found a well or something down in there, and there was four or five of us. So we go down there, and all of a sudden they start shooting at us. So we're dragging these canteens
clanking
of water on the ground. Making it back. I mean, water can be pretty heavy when you're dragging about 10 canteens. You would be surprised. That was a hard day, but the next day I think was worse, because it almost makes me tear up now. We had 11 dead, and I can remember they brought a chopper in, and we literally picked them up and just threw them in the back of it. We had a C-46, a double Chinook. And there was wounded guys in there with them. That affected me because the day before talked to one of the guys, and we couldn't figure out where he was hit, and he was literally hit right behind his earlobe, and it didn't come out. That one really stands out. There's quite a few, but that one was my first firefight. You don't forget that stuff.
Now, when you were just talking there, you mentioned some of your friends, and your buddy Larry Kotz from the very get-go, right?
Oh, yeah, Pennsylvania. Yeah. He's from, I think he's from Harrisburg.
Tim Garrison was a Sugar Bear.
Tim Garrison, Sugar Bear, from Oklahoma.
Phil Pounding.
Phil was from Oregon.
Francis James.
Francis from Delaware.
Lots of fellows. A guy named Don Giovanetti.
Don Giovanetti.
Tell me a little bit about
my best buddy.
Can't talk about all of them, but tell me a little bit about
Don,
them.
No, Don and I met in boot camp, and you didn't have a chance to really be close to anybody in boot camp, but we kind of had this bond together, and we were the two fastest guy in the entire company in San Diego, MCRD. You know, a quick story on Don and I, we went to, they call BITS, Basic Infantry Training. We went there, and that was better because we got Liberty and all that stuff. And I had a good friend, Phil Tudor, that I met from Dayton. He was in my same platoon. So anyway, Don and I built our relationship up. And when it came time for us to go home on leave, before we went to Nam, they messed my orders up somehow. There's another guy named Jordan. Anyway, I was 4 days behind him. So they went home. I did see Phil when I came home from leave, and then he went back, you know, to Camp Pelham. But Don, you know, I thought I'd never see him again. Well, yeah, I would, because we get to Nam, and he's in the same battalion as I am. But, you know, we got to see each other. We were in a lot of the same firefights. He was just in a different company.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we saw each other a couple times in Nam, which was great. And then the last time I saw him was, what was it, the 10th of May when I left? Yeah, 10th of May of 69 off the USS Okinawa. And that's the last time I saw him until my wife and my sister and my daughter Nicole were all trying to look him up. So, because over the years I had no luck. So my sister Cindy finds him on Facebook.
Of course.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. So she says, is this Don? You know, of course it's 44, 45 years mm-hmm. later. And I go like,
can't be.
That's Don. I said, I looked at his cheekbones game. I said, that's got to be Don. And now we're talking. I mean, it's so great.
Wow.
That, I mean, it was like none of the time had passed for us, you know. Yeah, Don was wounded at least three times, I think maybe four. So he took a pretty much a desk job, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the reasons I got out of Nam when I did, because they wanted me to go back out on another operation, and I said, I'm not going.
Well, he gave you your going-home papers, didn't he?
Yeah, he found them. Mm,
found them, yeah.
Yeah, him and mine, Larry's, Joe Walensky's, what's his name? We called him Smiley Larson. He was a machine gunner. Mm. There was four of us. So when he calls me up to the office, and so I get to the office, and he goes like, I got him, Rod. And that's the exact date my company was going back out, and it turned out to be really bad, too. So.
Mm. Some kind of memories. But, yeah. Oh, listen, I do want to confirm that what you just said about Don Giovanetti is true. Don, can you confirm or will you deny?
Well, he's a...
Oh, my God! Don.
How's it going, Rod?
I'm doing good. You're going to make me cry now, man.
No, man, don't cry. You already had me crying in the middle of your story. Hey, a little more on that going home. I had to trade a Hawaiian R&R to get you guys on that plane.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, I know you didn't know that. You weren't supposed to know that. No, I traded with another guy from 1-9 that I met on an R&R.
Yeah.
And I called him. I said, do you have any seats? And he goes, no, I don't. And I said, do you know anybody that wants to go to Hawaii? And he goes, yeah, me.
I had no idea.
The next plane out tomorrow. And so I traded him the Hawaii R&R for those four seats.
You know, Don, you found those. And
yeah, what happened, Rod, is your clerk, your company clerk, he had so many people rotating that he really didn't know how to play the game. Me being back there a while now in the rear with the gear kind of, after my two Purple Hearts, he just said, I learned how to play the game.
Yeah, you
so
did.
You got home.
You know, Don Giovanetti and Rod Jordan is who we're visiting with, and we have to go, but thank you both so much for your service. Thank you for the book.
I appreciate
it. The book is called Welcome to the Nam. Don, stay on the line, and you two can chat a little bit when we're done here, okay? And thank you so much.
Okay.
This has been a great time. I really appreciate you being here and telling us your story.
I truly appreciate it. I really do. And what a gift that Don's on here with me.
It's called Welcome to the Nam. It's a book by Rod Jordan. And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.